Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Texas.
It is a beautiful day. We saw some way above average temperatures this past week, which was nice. It was a reminder of how hot it can actually get in the summer and what it might feel like on the sun. But today, I think it's going to get a little bit cooler. But then by the time we get into next week, I think it's like back up into the 80s. It's the last thing I saw this morning.
Well, I think we're ready.
Yeah.
You know, I am definitely ready for 80 degrees every day. Won't bother me a bit.
That would be nice.
Other people, it might, but it will not bother me.
Yeah. Well, if it was like 75 all year long, I would be good with that. I think that would be ideal.
It would be. Now, what place besides Texas, it isn't going to happen in Texas, there are a few places that, you know, have kind of the same temperature all year.
Oh, are there?
But I've had people tell me they didn't like it because they didn't have winter and they didn't have fall and, you know, all the different seasons. They lost all that.
Well, you know, I would imagine that would probably get a little bit boring after a while to have the same season 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
I was thinking Hawaii. I thought you would come up with that.
Well, now, Hawaii does seem like tropical paradise. However, I have seen it get awfully cold in Hawaii, and I would suspect that if you go there to live and you expect it to be, you know, nice all year long, and then it gets, because wasn't it a couple weeks ago where they were showing footage on the news of hail in Hawaii? I think that happened.
Yes, but usually it's mild all year long. You know, usually they don't have, you know, like they don't have snow and they don't have things like that. But they do have volcanoes.
That's true. And those things are dangerous. Good.
They are. Lord. And they have typhoons every once in a while. There has been some typhoons.
Yep. And some of the big waves that come through. And so I don't know if they're tsunami strength, but I know they've got big waves sometimes that can go up on shore and be a little bit damaging. So I don't know. I think when you weigh all the pros and the cons, I think we're pretty well settled right here in West Texas. I think this is pretty much the one spot that you're going to avoid all the major problems.
I think so, too. It's always a good day when you're a Texan.
That is true. No doubt about that.
It's never a bad day if you can be in Texas and be a Texan.
You need to write to the state capitol and have that be the new Texas slogan.
Well, I think we should. Yes.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we talk all the time, every Saturday morning around this time, we talk about ways to grow your money. We talk about ways to grow your wealth so that you can retire, hopefully early, if you want to, at least have the option. But you definitely want to retire happy and you want to retire wealthy. Those are the two goals. And we talk about this all the time. And I think that's what a lot of people do. They talk about it, but they don't actually go ahead and get started. And so, Faye, when people come to see you for the first time, when you talk to them and you sit down with them and you find out their situation, is there something that they say that maybe sends up a red flag or maybe gives you some insight as to why they put it off so long?
I think it's just procrastination. Mm. People procrastinate about everything in life. You know, they need to go do things and they don't do it, and their finances is the same way. They just put it off.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I put it off and don't think about it, it won't happen. But that's not true. You do get older. You can't stop that. Money is important. It's not the root of our lives. But without it, it would be bad. You know? We don't want to do without money because we have to have money to live. So, you know, you have to be responsible and have financial objectives in your life. And when you have that and you get it worked out, then you can relax. You say, okay, you know, I've got investments. I've got solid investments. I don't have to worry about them. I don't have a lot of risk. And, you know, then you can go on to other things. And people who don't, they have big risk and they have lots of worry. And it stresses you and you don't live as long. Can you imagine if you were stressed out all the time about, I don't have any future. I don't have any money set aside. I don't know how I'm going to retire. I don't have the money to retire. That's crazy. Don't live like that. I would never live like that.
No, I think that would add. It would add a lot of stress to people's lives. And I think you're right. I think people just procrastinate. You know, maybe they think for some reason, well, if I don't talk about it or I don't think about it or I don't do anything, then, you know, I won't have to worry about it. But eventually, you're going to have to pay the piper. Eventually, you're going to get to that age where you want to retire and you're not going to have anything. So you've got to deal with it. I think the other thing that people think is that somehow planning for retirement, one, isn't fun, and two, it takes something away from today. And I know that we all live in a right here, right now, immediate society. We live in a disposable society. You know, if an appliance breaks down, rarely do we get it fixed. We just throw it away and get a new one. If the TV breaks, we just throw it away and get a new one. If your phone breaks, you just throw it away and get a new one. And so that's kind of the culture that we live in. I don't need this anymore. I'm just going to get a new one. And it's all about right here and right now. A lot of people, especially millennials, you know, I think that's kind of the classic example, but I think really this spans over any age demographic, is that people look at, okay, if I take money away and I start planning for retirement and I have to take a chunk out of my day-to-day living and put it aside to plan for retirement, that somehow is going to lessen the quality of life right now. And Faye, I know you know that that is not true.
No, it is not true. And, you know, once you make up your mind, you know, what, let's do some investing, let's get our retirement solidified, people do better. It takes all the stress out, it takes all the strain out, and of your marriage, it takes the strain of that out, because the wife is usually telling the husband, we need a plan, we need a plan. And the husband's saying, oh, no, well, everything will be all right. Well, women, lots of times, are really cued in on this. You know, they know that eventually their husband will have to retire and can't work anymore, and they want to be sure they have everything nailed down for their retirement. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think they finally come see me, is the wife is encouraging them and say, you know, you can take a morning off, you can take a few hours off, go see Faye, let's get this worked out.
Yeah,
let's get something going.
And really, you know, when people come see you, it's not like they're all of a sudden signing over, you know, all this this obligation. They're not like roped into some kind of like a quote unquote like a second job trying to maintain and build their wealth. It's pretty much the kind of thing where if you set it, you forget it. You'll take care of all the details, and you know when policies pay out, you'll take care of all the transferring of the funds and getting in the bank account. When new policies come in, you'll take care of notifying them. Do you want in or out? You'll do all the hard work, but they have to get it started. You can't do that for them.
No, I can't make that decision for them. So when they come to me, I go over everything the investment has. I want them to know every detail. And if they don't know all the details, they can't make an intelligent decision. So we want them to be intelligent about this. We want to tell them everything. Now, the other day, I had a gentleman come, and I had about $300,000 he wanted to put with me. And I said, well, now let me tell you everything. He said, I listen to your show all the time. I know everything. So he'd been listening to the show for 2 years. And he said, I know how it works. Just let me do it. I go, well, okay, in that case, you know as much as I do about it, let's do it. And we did it. But usually I say, you know, they haven't been listening to the show. And then I go over every detail. I talk about how we're going to roll it over. If it's a 401k, how it has to be rolled over. If it's an IRA, it's a transfer. And it goes direct to the bank always. We tell them this. Checks do not go to my company. They don't go to me. We never touch the money. And I think that encourages people when they know, you know, unlike a lot of companies, we don't touch the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we send it to the bank. Nevada Trust handles it. And they open an IRA over there, or a joint account with their wife, and then everything's up to the bank. The bank acts as the trustee for this account. So the bank pays the premiums when they come due. The bank gets a certified death certificate when they pass away, and then they pay the people and put the money in their account. And I love the way that works.
Yeah, it's nice and smooth and streamlined, and it's a well-oiled machine. So, go ahead.
And I started to say, we've only had one case where we've had trouble getting the death certificate, and it's the Rubin policy that came due sometime back, and 2 weeks ago I found out that we didn't have the death certificate yet. And come to find out, the state of Pennsylvania wasn't sending it out. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard of. So I sent someone in my office to Pennsylvania to find out what the problem was. And then we talked to a lady in that office, and we got the death certificate. It should be paid next week. And we've never had a case where a state was holding a death certificate.
Why would they do that? I mean, what do they have to gain?
I couldn't figure it out. It's pretty different in Pennsylvania. I found that out since all this happened.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't understand it. And it's not going to ever happen again because I'm on it now. Now I'm checking every claim we've got. How long has it been? If it's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, we pay usually in 6 to 8 weeks. And this one was really late because of that, and I didn't realize that the state of Pennsylvania was holding it and nobody wasn't doing anything about it. And when I found out, you know me, I got right on it. And I said, we're going to get that death certificate. I don't care what it takes.
So now Pennsylvania's on your radar.
It's on my radar now. And now I know who to call over there. And we have a lady over there. We know that she'll get it done. And nobody's ever been able to explain what happened and why they wouldn't give us the certificate.
So you do have a lady now that you have a specific contact, so you won't end up going through the funnel and getting transferred and moved and, you know.
No, we're not going to do that anymore.
Okay.
In the other states, we never have a problem. Everybody, we can send one in, and we get that death certificate right away, and we get it over to
you know, that's
Nevada
not something
Trust.
If I was going to come see you for the first time, I don't know that would be even something that would cross my mind, you know, as far as, hey, have you ever not gotten a death certificate before? I don't know. I don't even know what...
Nobody would ever think about it, and I
exactly.
wouldn't have either. But it did happen, and I want everybody to know that should be paid off. They should pay next week, I think, because it's at the carrier now, and the carrier doesn't take but a few days to pay their claims.
All right. So you got on it, you got it taken care of, and it's
I got it
done.
Taken care of once in a lifetime. We've never had that happen before, and I guarantee it'll never happen again. Because now I know that I have a list of claims that are pending, and we're on it. And as I said, they're all on time. So that won't ever happen again. But it was interesting to find out that a state could hold up a death certificate.
I didn't even know they could.
I didn't either. I mean, I've been in business 17 years. I've never had a state hold up a death certificate.
Well, I reckon there's a first time for everything.
There is, and it's just like anything else. You just handle it, and you go right on.
Hmm. You know, I guess the thought kind of occurs to me now that you bring this up, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, and there may not even be an answer for this. I don't know, but... What's the most, I don't want to say bizarre, but for lack of a better term, what's the most crazy question that maybe someone has asked you who's thought about coming over and doing something like this?
Well, I don't think I've ever had a crazy question. If I knew of one, I'd tell you, but I don't know of one. I mean, they ask good questions. Lots of times they have different concerns, different thoughts on it. I've been asked everything in the world, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Husbands ask different questions than wives do.
Yeah. Like, what would you say is the number one question, both by husband and by a wife? What would you say, just one example of each, would you say?
I think they want to know about how long does each policy take? About how long do the people live? And we did a survey this week, and all of ours right now, they're coming in an average of 9 months early.
Wow.
9 months early is the average right now.
Well, now that
That's
was
an average. That's not all of them, as you know. We still have some go long. But we're averaging 9 months early, and the average return right now is 24%.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's a great question, and even an even better answer.
Well, yes, and I didn't know it till I talked to the accountants in the office, and they were telling me.
Wow.
They went back, and of course, we're studying everything every day, as you know. We study what kind of cancer is the most prevalent, which ones can be operated on, which ones are not. And of course, the number one question of my clients that are already with me is, do you have another policy that we like pancreatic cancer? Mm-hmm. That's always the number one question. Faith, when will you have another pancreatic cancer? because they know they come in 9 months early. We know that. They'll say, this is a 24-month or 18-month policy. But usually with pancreatic cancer, you know, they do come in early. So that's in reply to some of the people this week when we have another pancreatic cancer. We're bid on some this week. That don't mean we'll get them. But we do have more policies right now that we've been approved on that we're closing. The Sloven policy, we're closing. I hope we have it all closed by Monday. In fact, I hope it closed, I think, before Saturday morning. So that's a $2 million deal. We've closed a lot this week, and we've got a lot more in the hopper to close. So right now we've got a lot of policies that we're closing on that we've been approved on. And sometimes we don't have this many, and we've got a lot right now that we've been approved on, and we're just waiting for the paperwork.
See, and that's good to know, because a lot of people who are thinking about this, you know, because I know you get a lot of really great questions, a lot of really intelligent, well thought out questions. People wanted to know things. And so I'm sure one of the questions that you get all the time is, hey, I'm new to this. You know, when's the next policy? Do you have a lot of options and policies coming in that we can invest in and be a part of? And that's really good to know that you have so many that are on the horizon. And I guess, you know, the great thing for people who are thinking about getting into a life settlement, the great thing is that things are always turning over. You know, you say this all the time about how you're always bidding on policies. You're always getting new policies in. You're always getting policies that are maturing and paying out. And that's really the important thing to understand about how this works and how the whole big picture for retirement planning works is that, yes, you want to do this over several years. You want to grow your wealth so that you're in multiple policies. You want to be diversified so that the overall idea is that some are paying out, and when that happens, then you're reinvesting in others. And this is just, it's a fluid strategy where there's always things that are turning over, and so the ball keeps moving. There's always money that's being made, and it really is a long-term process for the strategy to work right.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've learned over the years, and we've got it, you know, where we can see more things now, where we've got more things on our computers that help people, you know. And our new software, when people ask for a statement, it's a lot better than the old statement, because I've seen two or three this week, and I liked it. I liked the way it did the numbers. It would say, okay, these are all the policies that have matured. This is what you made on them. Here's the policies that haven't matured, and this is what you'll make on them. And here's how many months they're supposed to mature. So when people always ask, Faye, I can't remember this. I don't remember what policies I'm in. I don't remember how much I'm going to make. Well, unless they go to page 14, they can request a statement now, and it'll give them everything they need to know. So I love that, being able to give them these new statements.
So wait, did you just have a statement upgrade recently?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh.
And I think, you know, this helps a lot.
Excellent. You know, anything to make the whole process easier. Now, what about the people who, because we talk about how well-informed it is and how many, you know, people ask these different questions and how that's wonderful. But what about the person who the whole concept is so intimidating and they're so, it just seems like such a daunting task. What if somebody says, Faye, I want to get started, but I already know the basics. I've heard you on the show for a long time. I understand the basics, like the man that came in this week and talked to you. Heard the show for 2 years, understands how it works, doesn't want to know anything else. What about those people that just come in and say, Faye, you just roll over what you need to roll over. If I need to sign something, let me know. I don't care. I don't want to know. Just do the right thing and not worry about it. What do you say to those people? Do you have
I just have a few people like that. I have a few people that say, first of all, the number one question is, how soon can I get in some policies after I give you the money? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's been 30 or 45 days, but right now it's almost instant because we've got a lot of policies that we're closing on and we can put them in those policies. But there's been times we couldn't. There's been times, you know, we were waiting on paperwork. We were waiting to be approved on some policies. But right now we've been approved on probably 8 policies. We've probably got 8 approved that we're putting people in right away. So everybody can get their money fully invested, and it'll work out. So there's just all kinds of questions people ask. You know, everybody has a different opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's 24 months, a lot of people want to know what they're going to make and how it works. And I tell them we pay 1% a month. And people say, okay, how does that work? I said, you get paid when the policy matures. When that policy matures, the bank will pay you.
Okay. So let's run down the process about how it works, just to kind of make it clear and make it streamlined. It's a really simple process. But basically, we're talking about people investing in a life settlement, which is a life insurance policy that somebody who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, they oftentimes realize that those kinds of treatments are very, very expensive. And the fastest way to get a lump sum of money quickly is to sell their life insurance policy. So you'll go up against other companies. You'll bid on these policies. Now, before you even get to that point, there's a lot of analysis on your part. You don't just randomly bid on anything that comes across your desk. You're looking at these policies in extreme detail so that you know that when you present these to investors, it is a solid investment.
That's right. We've done everything we could to make sure that this policy is as we represent it. In other words, I was studying one this week. And I said, you know, I need a second opinion. You know, I said, I think it's a good policy. I believe everything they say. But I personally need a second opinion. And we called for it, and we're getting it. And then I had one this week I wanted to buy really bad, but it was stage 3. I still don't think it's stage 3, but it is. So we turned it down. And I said, unless y'all can find an opinion from another doctor that this is stage 4, I have to turn it down. But it was an amazing policy to me. It was colon cancer. When they tried to operate on it, the mass was so big, they had to stop the surgery. They couldn't even finish the resection on the colon because of the mass and it being so large. And I was impressed by this knowledge that, you know, I know this person's not going 30 months. Because if they can't operate on, you know, it's going to go a lot faster. But yet they left it at a stage 3. I don't know how it could be stage 3 when it's inoperable. They could not do it. They tried, and the mass was so big they couldn't. So that was one of those deals where I really wanted the policy. I turned it down, and unless there's another doctor who has more information on it, we won't be able to have that policy. But I think it was a good one. And yet we did turn it down because they're still showing stage 3. It has to be stage 4. Can't be in remission. It can't say, well, you know, we don't see any cancer. If they can't see it, we certainly don't want it. We want one that cancer is in full bloom, that's progressing. It doesn't matter if it's progressing slow or fast. Mm-hmm. As long as it is progressing. And, you know, most of the policies I buy, when it says it has metastasized, it's either in the ribs, it's in the spine, it has went to the brain, or, you know, if it's a lady, sometimes it's become ovarian cancer or something of that. And we know that if it's spread, they don't have much of a chance. We know that they, you know, they may die sooner than what they thought.
You know.
And, you know, we had that one, last month. That we'd had 4 months. We did it in December, and they were already passed away.
Yeah, that's
and we
fast.
Had one that lasted 2 months. So sometimes the doctors are wrong, and it's a lot more aggressive cancer that we can't see. We can't see how many different little pieces of cancer sometimes there is in there. And yet, I get some reports, and it will say that they found all these different little nodules, which is cancer, sometimes in the lymph nodes. And if it says 11 out of 17 lymph nodes, I buy it immediately.
You know, you brought up a good point a few minutes ago about how you were not sure. You thought it was stage four, but they were claiming it's stage three. And so instead of just flipping a coin or just kind of going, let's just push this through, you are thorough enough that you go and you get a second opinion. You're not going to gamble with people's money. And I think that's got to be one of the big things that people are drawn to this type of thing. And you specifically, is that not only are you going through these things with a fine tooth comb, looking at every line on these reports, making sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and you're looking at these things in extreme detail, analyzing all of the data. But then if you get to a point like this, like you just said, you're not afraid to go and get a second opinion. I mean, we're talking about people's investment here. We're talking about their money. And it's nice to know that you don't gamble with it and take chances.
No, we're not going to take any chances. And that's why we turned down quite a few, because it just doesn't match our criteria.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to match the criteria that we've set. And, you know, we have that strict rule. You know, I had somebody that sent me a 86-year-old this week, had cancer. I said, I don't care how many kinds of cancer, we can't do it. And they said, it's 12 months. I said, I don't care. It'd be my luck, being 84 years old, that she is not going to die till 95.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just our luck, and we just don't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're always erring on the side of caution, and that's spectacular when we're talking about, you know, people's investments and their money, because it's another layer of reassurance that people have that they are in very good hands when they do this type of thing. So you're bidding on these policies for people who have stage four cancer, and if you win the bid, you get the policy in, and this is a chance for people to take that. First of all, the policyholder gets their lump of money, and so that they can go and do the treatments that they need to do and hopefully prolong their life. You know, obviously that was the whole goal, so that they could get fast money. And it may prolong their life by, I don't know, maybe a couple months or however long it takes. But then this becomes an opportunity for people to turn this into an investment. And so they get into these things. And when they're looking at this as an investment, it's got to be much more safe and make them feel much more secure than the stock market. Because the stock market, we know, anything can happen. It can go up. It can go down. It's pretty much as predictable as the wind. But with this, there is so much information, and you are so targeted with the policies that you buy. They're only stage four cancer. You have age limits. You won't deal with people that are over a certain age. Was it 74?
Yes,
so
74, 75, but not any older than that. We're just not going to do seniors.
So we all know
that we're not going to do those 80 years old, the 95s.
No.
And we get a chance all the time.
Yeah.
And I go, no, we're not going to do that.
You turn these down. And so the main focus is stage four cancer. And as much as we hope as human beings that people can beat stage four cancer, we all know the reality. And we all know how these cases turn out. And we all know that stage four cancer is very, very serious. And when these doctors look at the policyholder and they say, okay, we estimate based on all the facts and the tests and all these that they're going to probably pass away within 18 months. You look at, and this is just a random example, you look at that and there's often times where you'll look at it and you'll analyze it, and having done this for so many years, you'll say, you know, I think that the doctors are being a little bit more conservative. They'll say 18 months. Oftentimes, you'll look at it and say, I predict it's going to be half.
That's right. And usually the ones that they're really far out on are those 30-month ones. And I've had a lot of 30-month ones come in like in 9 to 12 months. So lots of times on them, they're saying way out, and I'm looking at it saying, no, there isn't any way I'm going to buy that policy because I don't believe it's 30. Even if it turns out to be 30, they're going to make 30%.
Yeah.
You know.
It's still a lot of money.
And if it comes in early, they still make 30.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me that. If it comes in early, do I get more or less? None. You're going to get the same amount. If it's a 30% deal, you'll get 30% if it comes in early. You get 30% if it's on time, and you get 30% if it's late. It doesn't make any difference. your return is locked in. You know what you're going to make, and that's how much you're going to get. That's what I love about a life insurance policy. Whatever amount we've set, that's what you'll get.
Yeah, it doesn't lose its value. You know,
no.
Whatever happens on the stock market, you know, I know a lot of people were, you know, gathered around computers, you know, in the morning yesterday looking at, because, you know, Lyft was fixing to do their first trade, you know, yesterday morning. And so a lot of people were anxiously waiting. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with a life settlement? None of that happens because the policy remains intact. Nothing influences it. Nothing affects the value of it. They're going to get paid what they're going to get paid. They already know it ahead of time.
That's exactly right. So, you know, you've got more confidence, I think, in investment that you know how much you're going to make. It's not iffy, and it's not an up and down, and it can't go down. That's what I like about a life insurance policy. Is it can't ever go down, and it means a lot to people when it's their retirement money, because at the end of the trail, you're still going to have all your money. You'll still have all your principal plus your interest. So it's a lot different than a stock market where you may get ready to retire, and that day the stock market loses 40%,
yeah.
You know?
And
it may take years to get it back up.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, the day before you think you're going to retire, you may be replanning things out, maybe staying at work another 5-10 years. And that's not the way to do it, you know, especially as you get closer to retirement day. Most people generally, I feel like, want to kind of scale back a little bit, get a little bit more conservative. Don't take, you know, the risks like you say. I mean, somebody could lose everything the day before retirement and all of a sudden they have nothing. And so this is a much more conservative, a much more well-informed, a much more stable type of investment. So that's why I think a lot of people really are drawn to a life settlement like this. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia. So, Faye, what is our topic this morning?
It's Southwest Airlines. I went for the biggie today.
Wow. I don't know where we're going with this, so I'm going to strap myself in.
Okay. Southwest Airlines was started by Herb Kelleher back in 1967.
Really?
Yes. Now, when he started Southwest, they flew three places. You know, and they flew San Antonio, Dallas, Houston. Just three little places. That's all they had.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, when they started out, they had three airplanes. I mean, they didn't start out with much, let me tell you. And today, they have 579 airplanes.
Wow.
They fly to over 100 destinations.
Wow.
But a lot of funny things happened on the way. When they started out, American, Braniff, everybody was against them. And they, as you know, they went to Love Field in Dallas. And everybody said, we've got to get them out of there. We've got to get them out of there. So a lot of things happened. They all sued them. They sued them and said, we've got to get them out of there. We'll just close down the airport. Well, they couldn't. They had all these fights. They went to the Supreme Court, and it said, yes, Southwest can fly out of Love Field, and y'all can't stop them. Well, so, yeah, but it took years. So 3 years later, they were finally able to fly everywhere. And in 1971 is when it came, finally became Southwest Airlines instead of Southwest Company. And as I said, they only had three 737s.
Wow.
And they were flying back and forth. What is so funny is they were doing maintenance, so they'd have to fly the planes, these three planes, back to Love Field. Well, it was empty. You know, they didn't take any passengers. They said, how in the world can we make some money here and do something? So they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll advertise that they can fly back on these planes for
$13. $13.
And then they said, maybe we could do it for $10. And in no time at all, they were flying 100% people, no empty deals. And they got a little bit of money out of it and got a lot of publicity.
I'm sure.
And and word spread. You know, that they, heck, you could fly on them for, you know, $13. Well, everybody said, well, we're going to take care of that. But then when the others fought them and said, we'll put our fares way down, Southwest said, well, what else could we do? I know, we'll give them free booze. So that took care of that problem, you know. So every time they were countering, but all the big airlines didn't want them there. And eventually, American and some of the others put some planes over at Love Field. Of course, it wasn't real profitable, but that's what they did to try to stop them, you know. And then the Wright Amendment, not being from Texas, I don't imagine you knew about it, but Jim Wright, who was a congressman, a Democrat congressman from Fort Worth, he said, I'm going to propose, it's going to be called the Wright Amendment, and we're going to stop them from flying direct to all these different states. And they became against the law to fly Southwest to Oklahoma City direct, to all these other places. You had to have a stop in between.
Really?
You could not fly direct to these other states. You had to make one stop in between.
Wow.
And that was 30 or 40 years ago that happened. Now, this thing went on for years and years. And Southwest could have made a lot more money, but they were hamstrung in what they could do, you know, because of that. So the Wright Amendment went on for years. And finally, they'd been in the lawsuit for years with the government, and finally it was overturned. And when it was overturned, then it loosened up, and I think it was overturned, I think, in 2009. And I know in 2008 and 2009 is when they were, finishing it up and getting rid of it. And when it did, they could fly anywhere then. And they could fly to all the other states that surrounded Texas. But it was an amazing thing that for 30 years, that Wright Amendment was in force.
I had no idea they had to make at least one stop.
One stop. It was against the law to fly direct under the Wright Amendment, and all the other airlines is the ones that helped, you know, get that done where they could not fly direct.
You know, it seems like it's almost, I don't know what you would call it, but it's I don't even know what to call it legally, but it doesn't seem like if you have to pass it for one company, you have to pass it for all the companies.
And, you know, it has less complaints than any airline in the industry. They have more on time than anybody in the industry. And to think they started out, you know, with three planes, they now have 579 planes, fly to over 100 places. And it's always been a colorful airline. Herb Keeler was a very funny man. At the stockholder meetings, he would do some of the funniest things you've ever heard of. And they always had all these colorful songs and deals that they did when you were flying with them. And one of them was Love Is Still Our Field, Just Plain Smart. Somebody up there who loves you, you're now free to move about the country and grab your bag, it's on.
Wow.
And then they had a lawsuit with this other company. And this guy said, well, you can't use Plain Smart. That's our motto. That was Stevens Aviation. Now, instead of doing anything bad, Herb Keeler says, well, let's have an arm wrestling contest. That's typical of Herb Keeler. And so they said, okay, it'll be 2 out of 3 rounds. The winner will pay $5,000 to the charity of their choice. And the winner gets the trademark phrase, which Herb wanted. So they go down here, and they start out, and they did sit-ups with a cigarette and a glass of Wild Turkey. And they had the press there, had the employees there, and they were doing a video. Well, Herb Kilo lost, and Stevens Aviation said, well, we won, but we're going to grant you the Just Smart plane to Southwest Airlines. And then they both gave $15,000 to charity, and it was a lot of good publicity.
Wow, how cool is that?
And one time, they were doing an advertising stunt, and he put a paper bag over his head. This guy was crazy. But they said he was so eerie smart, it was unbelievable. and to start this little airline with three planes, and and then they made their first $1 billion several years later, you know, because of all the things that he did, and then he had the first woman CEO of an airline.
Really?
Nobody else has a CEO that was a lady. And when he retired in 08, he made her CEO of the airline, which I thought was really smart. And she had been a Southwest employee for years.
Well, golly, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And so anyway, that was a big deal. And now, of course, their income is billions a year.
Yeah.
And they're so well thought of.
And did you say that Southwest Airlines is the airlines that is most on time?
On time, it is also the most favored because they do everything the right way. And also another thing, you can check two bags for free. I mean, and another thing, within 10 minutes of the flight, if you need to change your flight, you can still do it with no penalty with them.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have all kinds of neat things. Now, another thing that made them part of this fortune is several years ago in the 90s, they went online and started an online where you could just say, okay, I want to go here and do it online. That's what made them all that money.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody started booking online. They weren't calling for reservations. They were doing it online, and that's what made them a lot of money because it was simple, it was easy, and you didn't tie the phones up.
And Southwest was the first ones to do that.
Yes, and in 1989, they made their first $1 billion in revenue. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And by 1992, they were carrying over 30 million people.
That's amazing. Amazing.
And they had 50, yeah.
To start out with three planes.
To start out with three planes, they have 55,000 employees now.
Wow.
And they say the reason it's such a great airline, it was employee-oriented from the first day. It always has been, always will be. And as I said, they have 4,000 departures a day. They carry the most airline passengers of anybody domestically in the United States.
You're serious about that? I had no idea any of this thing. I always thought that, and I don't know why, but I always thought like, you know, United or Delta or even American Airlines were the biggest. And, you know, they were just, you know, Southwest was just kind of like there, kind of like, you know, muddling through. I didn't realize that they were like the pioneer in so many different fields.
Yeah. And they carry the most passengers in the United States on any, you know, and it's because, you know, that's all they do every day. They go Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Los Angeles, all these places, back and forth, back and forth. And their main cities, you know, is Denver and Houston, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Orlando, Phoenix, Atlanta, and Baltimore. That's their main ones right there.
Wow.
And this guy started, Herb Keeler was a lawyer, and he wasn't even born in Texas, but he got here quick.
You know, with as many things as they're really the leader in, I'm surprised that other airlines haven't started to tweak their business model a little bit to adopt certain aspects of what Southwest does.
Well, and you know, their planes were so colorful, you know, that was another thing they did. They had the girls in really colorful uniforms, and they used to, and I don't know if they still do this. I don't remember. It didn't happen the last time I flew with them. They used to sing as you got on. They were singing. They were doing all kinds of crazy things. I mean, they were a fun airline, let me tell you.
Wow.
And it really made a difference. And they were cheap. Remember that. Southwest is so much less than best. Everybody wants to fly them if they're going a short distance because of the cost.
Yeah.
You know. And they don't even need to advertise because everybody knows them. They know who they are. They know the service. And it's just a great airline. And I thought the story was worth talking about because Herb Keeler did all this with, you know, just starting out with nothing almost.
You know, that's so inspiring to people who are trying to start out something of their own. You don't have to have the biggest or the best or the, you know, whatever the case may be to compete with some of these giant companies that may already exist. It's like, you know, you can do a lot with just a little and make things work. It's a fascinating, inspiring story. I guess it's probably enough to make people rethink some things that they may already think about Southwest and just put them in even a better light than they may already have.
And 65% of all their business is booked online.
That is incredible.
65%. And look what all went against them. They had all those lawsuits. All the big airlines wanted them out. They wanted them out of Love Field. They didn't want them being able to fly there. And then Jim Wright comes along, gets the Wright Amendment approved in Congress, and stops them from flying direct to slow them down. Again, everything was against them. It took 30 years to get the Wright Amendment dismissed, but Southwest finally won, and can fly anywhere. They don't have to make a stop. But I know used to, everybody I knew would say, well, we're going here, but we have to make that stop, you know. Once you leave the state, you've got to make one stop.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
They overcame a lot, and most of the people own stock in Southwest, and they're millionaires, by the way.
Yeah, and it sounds like everybody along the way, anybody sued them for everything they possibly could, and they still kept going. Man, that's so...
They kept going in spite of it.
Wow.
And those other airlines are not at Love Field. They went back to DFW like they should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How cool is that?
That's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
For Southwest. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330.
So we're talking about how people can get involved in a life settlement. And you talked about, at the beginning of the show, you talked about certain criteria that people need to meet in order to do this type of a program. And there are certain qualifications. This is not a type of investment for everybody. Don't worry, there are other alternatives. However, to be involved in a life settlement, you do have to be accredited. And that means...
You've got to either make $200,000 a year, or if you and your wife are doing it together, you have to have $300,000, the two of you together. Or you have to have $1 million in assets without your home. You can have a rent houses, you can have a vacation home, anything else but except your personal residence.
Okay, so immediately some people are doing some math in their head. They're running down their assets. They're running down what they make, you know, what they may have in the bank, 401ks, things like that, just trying to get a rough estimate. Some people are saying, I'm not going to make it. I might as well just keep working until I fall over and never retire. That's not the case. There are other alternatives for growing your wealth.
That's exactly right. And we do annuities. I've had a lot of calls about annuities lately, people saying, I'm not qualified to do the investments, but I'd like to do an annuity. Well, annuities are a great investment. They've been around 150 years. They guarantee your principal from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. So it's a solid, solid life insurance company. It's a good investment. It's safe. They'll pay you so much a month the rest of your life. You can get bonuses. Going in, if you had to take it out in 3 years, you can do that without a penalty. There's just a lot of good features. It mimics the stock market without you ever spending a dime at the stock market. Mm. That's what I like.
Yeah, that's so important, because I think a lot of people are looking at what happens on Wall Street. They're looking at how unstable things are getting. They're looking at how nervous some people are getting and saying, you know, I just can't afford to lose anymore. And I know that, you know, some people still have flashbacks to 2008, 2009. Some people are just getting closer to retirement. And regardless of whatever situation people are in, people are looking for alternative, safer types of, more conservative types of investments. So no matter where you are or where you need to be or how long you need to get there, You can put people on a trajectory that will get them to where they need to be when they need to be there. So if somebody wants to retire in 5 years, it may be a little bit more aggressive. If somebody has 10 or 15, you may be able to kind of slow down a little bit, maybe take it a little bit easy, leave a little bit more for people to do whatever they want to with it. But the point is that you've got to get started at some point. And retirement saving and growing your wealth does not mean that you have to sacrifice your day-to-day, every day, Monday through Friday, living, right?
That's exactly right. And what I love about both these investments is you know that your principal is always secure. Mm-hmm. You know that it's not going to go down. It's not like in the stock market. It won't have the up and down. Your principal is always secure.
And that's so important to know. You know, that right there is peace of mind, I would think, for a lot of people to reconsider if they're in the stock market or some other type of investment. That right there alone would be enough to start people, you know, maybe rethinking, you know, their approach. And that's the whole point. It's like, don't move forward with anything unless you're absolutely comfortable with it. So, and you get people familiar with the process. You'll sit down with people. You know, if somebody comes in and talks to you for the first time, it doesn't mean you have to sign a document and sign your life away. No. You let people make the decision at their own pace. And that's the other thing that's really important for people to know as they go in this, is they're not trapped into something. They're not, you know, stuck into something that they may not be fully informed about. None of that's true. This is a well-informed type of investment. You'll get people where they need to be. You'll do it on their timetable. And so that's really important. And it was great to know that you have lots of policies on the horizon. So
we have lots of policies. I hope we have the contracts on all of them this following week. We will be putting people in them every day that we get a contract in.
Cool. So there's tons of opportunity on the horizon, and you have availability for people to come see you this week, right?
That's right.
All right. So one last time, Faye, for people to call you and make an appointment to come by and get some more information, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Sprint, right next to Ivy Cottage.